A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. United Healthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello, Egg Chasers. It's the Egg Chasers Rugby Podcast, a podcast about rugby that doesn't take itself or the game too seriously. And here we are to dissect another weekend of domestic rugby, talk about the week in rugby, look ahead to a big weekend of European rugby, and all of it from the comfort of the renovated, I don't know how you would describe this.
Remodeled
rugby dungeon, which you will be able to see if you are watching on social media. We're at Rugby Podcast on Twitter, we're on Facebook, and everywhere else. We're not on TikTok. We haven't got on board that train.
No, do you know why? Why I'm not on TikTok?
That's JB.
Oh, yeah. Hi, Tim.
That's Phil.
Hello, Tim.
Yeah, the reason I'm not on TikTok is because the first time I came across TikTok was on YouTube, and it has the creepiest set of adverts. Basically, men that look like they're in their 30s flirting with girls that look like they're 14. It is so creepy. It's like the creepiest social network I've ever come across.
Are you sure that wasn't specifically targeted for you?
Oh, God, it might have been. It does do these things.
I need to put these books down. JB, are you all right there? You look like you're... JB looks like he's reclining on a little chaise chair, like you're about to be drawn. Like,
or fed grapes.
Yes. Yeah. One of you could feed me grapes. That would be fantastic.
Are you feeling okay today, JB?
I'm a little bit groggy, but generally speaking, I've been worse.
Yes, we've recorded in much worse states, haven't we?
Yes, and how are you feeling today, Phil?
I'm okay now. I feel much better. I went round to my parents this evening for a good Sunday roast, so I feel much better after that.
Fantastic.
I've been a little groggy also.
I'm devastated at having lost my fantasy rugby draft matchup. That's 3 defeats in a row. My season is in tatters. I know how Leicester Tigers fans feel.
Yeah, poor old Leicester Tigers.
JB is really struggling.
It's like it's the
life. He's got to do more than 2 things at once.
It's like the live pod all over again.
It is. Oh,
no. You all right, mate?
Yeah, it's just that there's a big thing over Phil's head on the Mevo, so you can't see his wonderful face. Anyway, it's fine now. We're done.
I feel like you should move the microphone into a position so you can sit.
I'm fine. You're right. I'm very comfortable.
You are hiding your face from the camera as well.
That's fine. Don't you worry about my face.
I'll call the chiropractor. Get him ready for after the pod. Right, let's got lots to talk about, but just rattling through some of the rugby news of the week. Firstly, I'm going to start the podcast with this. Have you seen the Canterbury Crusaders changed logo?
No.
You haven't seen
it? No, I honestly haven't.
Genuinely haven't seen it?
No, honestly.
Oh, yes.
They're rebrand.
Don't say anything and let's see what JB sees when he looks at it.
Okay, let's see if I can get it up now.
Get a picture up now. So, yeah, Canterbury Crusaders, they're still going to be called Crusaders.
Okay.
But they've changed their logo, as they suggested they might do, from the sword-wielding Christian...
Yeah, whatever. I don't even know.
Warrior.
It doesn't matter. Whatever it was.
A
knight.
The knights.
Yeah.
Now they've changed it. So if you haven't seen it, have a look online. But Phil's about to show JB the rebrand.
There you go.
Say what you see.
I don't know what it is. I can't even. Just can I just keep looking?
Say
at
what
it?
You see. To give it. I mean, so just say what you see.
Support me thinks it looks like 2 flexing arms.
Yes, it does look a bit like a flexing arm.
Oh, God! Oh, God, it looks something...
Like 2 baby's arms.
Yes. Yeah. Goodness me!
Have you ever heard the term docking?
Yeah. do you know what? It took me a little while to actually... That's stunning and brave.
It's wonderful.
So I take it the Crusaders are now on a social crusade rather than, you know, going to actually play any rugby.
Who knows?
Yeah, I mean, we've got rainbow laces in the Northern Hemisphere. Good. Crusaders have got their rebrand.
Oh, of course, it was Rainbow Laces week.
It was.
Yeah, it was. But yeah, that's quite some logo from Canterbury Crusaders. And it's been... Everyone has spotted what we all spotted. It seems like everyone but the marketing team and the Canterbury Crusaders.
You do wonder, though, if these marketers are sort of like playing Donald Trump style 3D chess of like they're almost like trolling us. So we start talking about it, and then it doesn't look like anything.
It's meant to be a C, is it?
Is it?
Oh, what do you think it is? Think it is?
I just assumed it was. It had some link to a tribal.
I thought it was tribal
tattoo, but I have no idea.
I'm not sure I'd want it tattooed on me though.
No.
Right. Well done, Crusaders.
Well done. Another big bit of news, a bit closer to home. Is that we're going to have one of the best players on earth in the Gallagher Premiership next season, Semi Radrada, at the signing of Bristol Bears.
Interesting, isn't it?
Big.
I think this is a quality signing.
I don't understand how they managed to sign him. I mean, what I mean by that is, why is he not already snapped up on mega money forever?
So he is on mega money, because he moved away from Toulon.
And then
he went from Rugby League to Toulon, then Toulon to... where's he at?
I want to say Bordeaux.
Yeah, I thought that rings a bell.
I'm not actually sure.
No, I'm not totally sure where he's playing right now.
But I just don't really understand how
Bordeaux.
This works.
It is Bordeaux.
I don't really understand how it works. So like
he will be on mega money at Bordeaux.
And why did Bordeaux let it get to this?
Well, so one of the things that was referenced by Pat Lam himself was the time that he spent with Radrada when he was coaching the Barbarians and Radrada was playing for the Barbarians. So I assume there is something of that link. The two have worked with each other. Yep. They know how each other works, and that obviously flows both ways. Both Pat Lam referenced how much of a model professional he was, how hard he trained, and all the rest of it. So, but Radrada knows how Pat Lam works, so that will be a draw.
So I think what Pat Lam has over everyone else is obviously his heritage. So when he's looking to sign these lads like Radrada, I think there's an extra layer of trust there. That he understands them, they understand him. He's held in enormous respect. I mean, if you're going to sign someone like Radrada, there's probably no better man to have in your corner than Pat Lam.
Yeah, and you can see they did some really good videos over the summer, Bristol Bears, talking about the culture, which can be used to just stupid ends, but. In the case of Bristol Bears, showing the togetherness of that team, and
they are. I think Bristol Bears at the moment are probably one of the most remarkable teams in the Premiership. The way that they play, their attendances, their signings, the ambition. Yeah, it's a pretty special club actually.
And Radrada is box office. He is. I mean, him and Pietau in the same team.
Pietau, who ran for 200 meters today.
Yes,
and his brother. And his brother's an absolute legend too.
Yeah, his brother in terms of the leadership is really, really important. Him, Chris Vui, Luatua, Afoa, all of those guys are so important to the way that club is working at the moment.
And all good young Bristolians, which we must remember.
Absolutely. Well, that was, he's quite interesting. I don't know if you read the transcript of the Pat Lam interview.
Yeah, when Pat Lam vociferously defending his squad when he was asked about salary cap, or how are you managing to get these players under the salary cap, at which point he reeled off a long, long list of players, very long list of players that he...
These lads are worthless. Yeah. What don't you get?
It was a big, long list of why Pat Lam's amazing, really.
It was.
He is amazing.
But it did a couple of things. It did almost discredit the 15 or so players that he picked up, because going for pennies... No one wanted him. He was rubbish. I saved him.
Did he pick up on your concussion boys? He said, I've got 20 concussion boys on my squad.
Other teams' concussion boys are my stars. That's what he said.
But it also showed how many he's picked up from clubs where they weren't doing much. But it shows how few people actually over the last few years have come through the Bristol ranks compared to some teams. So that's something that they do need to correct.
Yeah. Particularly if they want to keep balancing the books.
Correct.
If other players.
But, I mean, they do have. I mean, we just listed all their superstars there, and they are superstars. But they have some real good lads. Like, a great one would be Dan Thomas, not really wanted by Gloucester. Absolutely electric for Bristol. I love Randall. I think he's a cracking player. Was he released by Tigers? Hi, Randall?
I don't know.
I think Hi, Randall was.
Just he's called Harry. And Scrum Half, doesn't he?
Yeah, Harry Thacker.
Is Harry Randall not a Bristol lad?
I thought he's either been released by Gloucester or Leicester, is my feeling, because he's too small. And I'm sure it's Leicester. They just said he's too small. And he's a Scrum Half. I mean, he is small.
How big do you need to be to play Scrum Half?
Yeah, exactly. Look at Faf.
So it's really exciting stuff. And if you were a player who's going to be out of contract next summer at one of the struggling, ailing English clubs, which we'll get onto in a minute, Leicester or Wasps or something.
Yeah.
I mean, you'd be thinking, I hope after January the 1st, when the only point at which contract negotiations for next season can start happening.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You'd think, I hope on January the 1st, I might be able to have a productive conversation with Pat Lam.
Yes.
Yeah,
definitely.
Well, I mean, they must be nearly spent up. I mean, I think a lot of...
He says he's well under the cap.
Oh, does he? Mm. Well, I've got a feeling that he might have his eye on a certain fly half. That's what I feel.
Anyone you can share?
Yeah, George Ford. And
really?
Let me explain this.
That's just putting jigsaw pieces together in a logical fashion.
So I'm going to put pen to paper on this next week.
Put it on the board. If you're watching, we have a whiteboard. Uh-oh. We have a whiteboard wiped clean, clearly in view. And if you want to put something up on the whiteboard for the first time, say George Ford will be a Bristol Bear next season.
Oh, I don't know. I mean, I'm not saying...
Yeah, this is.
I'm not saying I know this. I'm saying that's kind of.
That would make a lot of sense.
Well, it would. I mean, we'll talk about that later because obviously we have to talk about that in conjunction with Leicester Tigers. But yeah, it does sort of make sense.
Hmm. Interesting.
So, other bits of news. Another name. We don't need to spend long on this one, but Peak Teo. probably not going to be reached now. Peak Teo was reached when he played for the Lions. He's now going to be playing for the Sunwolves.
Yes.
Wow. Yeah. Wow, when did this happen?
It got announced middle of last week.
Why don't Toulon want him?
He was only there as a World Cup joker, wasn't he?
Hmm.
Yeah.
So he hadn't re-signed in England. He was aiming to sign somewhere after the World Cup.
And think about it. In terms of Ben Teo and what he likes to do, playing for the Sunwolves is the route to playing the minimum amount of club rugby.
Yeah, I still really want to find out what happened with him and Mike Brown.
So I think it was blown out of proportion because it was a good story and it was closely followed by both of those two being released from the England camp. I actually think...
No,
I don't think that was the reason why they were released. I think they were both kind of players on the periphery anyway. There was a headline on one side. They were released separately.
But just on that, I mean, Eddie actually deserves credit now because he got to the World Cup final. It's very hard to criticise him. But Ben Taylor has just proved himself really not to be interested much in English rugby. He came over to Bristol, didn't do anything for them.
Worcester.
Played a handful of games for England. I mean, it just feels like, looking back at it, it's a wasted England place.
Yeah, but
he did well when he played.
And he did make the Lions.
He made the Lions play. He did really well for the Lions.
Did he too well for Worcester?
He made the Lions, and the position, what he offered at the time he was offering it, was different to what anyone else was offering. Mm-hmm. He's a very similar player to Manu. Manu was unavailable for a lot of the time that he got his caps, and there were very few alternatives.
Look, outstanding player, and
yeah.
Absolutely outstanding talent, and he did really well. And you could, like, you could say he, whether you say he made the most of his talent, possibly not. But I think part of that is there are some players, and we've all played with them. There are some players who will put themselves back together somehow, and against all the odds, get out on the pitch again the following Saturday when they've been battered. And there are other players, who get a little twinge. And they're like, I don't feel right. I'm not going to play.
I've got a long list of those.
And you know what? Maybe we shouldn't knock the guys that are in the latter camp.
Yeah, I mean, it depends.
Or we can praise the people in the other camp. I don't know.
Yeah, it goes both ways because I know lads that will play with niggles where other lads won't. So the lads that don't play don't get the credit for not, you know, manning up and getting through it. But the ones that do play, when they have the bad performance, they go, "Well, you know, I wasn't 100% fit." So it's hard to balance that because they all want the idea that they're super hard men, and on the other hand, they need to perform. Mm.
Other news, Conor O'Shea, his role at the RFU was announced. He's the performance director, taken over from Nigel Melville, meaning he's got day-to-day management of players, coaches and match officials, all pathways, men's, women's, sevens,
good bloke, 15s. Good bloke, good job. They seem to match well, I like it.
Yeah, and from my understanding, Melville and Eddie Jones, I'm sure the two of them come into or came into contact with each other, but there was no kind of direct reporting or control from Melville over Jones. So I can't see that would change anything with the England elite men's setup.
What is the crack at the moment with the England elite men's setup and their coaches? There's three of them left, right?
Yeah, what's his name has left?
Wisemantle's gone.
Borthwick is sort of
going. Yeah, gone.
He's there at the moment.
Hatley's gone
to Bath, hasn't he?
Yes. So you've got Jones and his mate. What's his name? Defence coach.
Mitchell.
Yeah. Jones, Mitchell, and Semi Borthwick.
Yes,
kind of.
Although everyone's expecting Borthwick to get announced. To Leicester as a...
Monday. Is there a Monday morning meeting, JB, tomorrow?
Let's find out.
There should be.
Right.
Bless you.
That's mainly the news. Alan Dickens of Northampton's gone to England under-20s coach. Fine.
They love handing out that job. Feels like everyone has that job at some point.
Wasn't it like a rotation job for a while?
I think it was, yeah.
Ali Heifer did it for a bit. I think Sam Vesti might have had a little bit of a time.
There's somebody else who did it as well. I think that's actually probably the best way to do it.
Have it on a rotational
level. Yeah. Martin Haag had it for a while.
Martin Haag is the one I was thinking of, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, keep it rotational.
I do like having someone in there for a few years so you can build structures rather than just kind of rebuild everything every time.
But what's the point? I mean, they're playing every 2 years. Do you know what I mean? Like, so they've got like a World Cup every 2 years. Almost everyone gets an England under-20s cap. Have you seen the size of the squads? The matchday squads?
They're
enormous.
Are they?
Yeah. They're much bigger than the normal squads.
Okay.
So like they have loads of kids come in. They have loads of kids go out. I'm not even sure they could build a structure even if they wanted to, because you don't have them for a long enough period of time.
I'm more thinking not necessarily. It's a blueprint that can set up.
So
it would be easier to transition to the next level potentially, because you've seen lads like the Curry boys and Itoji who
did
have,
Itoji ever play in England 20s?
I think he captained England under 20s.
Yeah, he captained them to a World Cup win, I think.
Yeah. So you've seen people who've gone within the space of 12 months from...
It's so weird when... Ben Curry is still eligible for under 20s last year.
Yeah.
Or Harry... What's his face? Harry Malander.
Yeah.
So we've had a bunch of questions and stuff sent in. And there's a few people that have picked up on another podcast. Which I like talking about them in positive terms.
Oh.
And I didn't really like mentioning this. In fact, no, I'm not going to mention it.
Why?
I'm not going to mention it. Oh, yeah, do you want to mention it? I don't really. It's one man, probably what he wants. Probably what he wanted with his contrarian...
No, I think we should mention
contrarian
it.
Rant yeah, was podcast. For everyone to talk about. So let's not talk about it.
Do you know what? I think we should mention it quickly, because this is the first time ever. And this is actually a compliment. I mean, people who do not listen to rugby listened to that podcast for the rants.
So one of our friends messaged us, Harry. Genuinely, I think the last time he listened to a rugby podcast was in Madrid at the live show. He doesn't listen to rugby podcasts, but he'd seen a load of stuff kicking off on it on Twitter and thought he'd stick it on.
This is it.
It's just a shame. Do you know
what? This is the perfect crystallisation of a rant I had at the end of last week's podcast, where I said, stop sharing terrible articles saying this is a terrible article, because all you're actually doing is saying... read this terrible article and give it the clicks and the advertising revenue.
It was just very... Do you know what? I thought it was very sad, actually. Because for all of the nonsense that Stephen Jones engages in, I do have a tremendous amount of respect for him, because he went to every World Cup. I mean, ultimately, no matter how deranged the man is, he's put in his hours. So to hear him just have this utter breakdown... I mean, it shouldn't be named The Ruck. It should be named The Breakdown. it was awful, quite frankly. And people are listening to that and thinking, this guy can't be serious. Or if he is, he's actually
Do you think at any point in the past people have listened to our podcast?
Do you know what?
I
actually listen to that and go, oh my God, I sound like that. I actually sound like that. So I'm going to go easy on him. But I don't think it was good. I think it's discredited a lot of... It wasn't nice to listen to, because it sounded like a man losing his faculties, quite frankly.
It was close to it at times. Yeah.
On a more positive note, do you know what I want to do? I just want looking ahead, turning our attention to the actual rugby this weekend. I just want to give some props to London Irish, who I think we've actually neglected so far this season.
Well, they need props. They had one sent off.
I think you're right. You're absolutely right. And I thought, I gave them little chance going into this.
Yep.
Bristol are a very good team. They're second in the league still after this result. They have got a very, very unique style of playing in the Premiership. They've got a good attendance. They've got a good home crowd. And they're playing some bloody good rugby. And London Irish, to go there and to play the whole of the second half a man down and get that result is a superb performance. It really is. So fair play, London Irish.
Yeah, and I think I'm just generally saying apologies for not having lingered more on your performances so far, because I think, like a lot of people, we were kind of thinking, well, they're going to be in a real scrap, in a dogfight. They'll be lucky to escape this. So, and there could be a couple of teams finishing below them the way they're going. They're a tough nuts
yes.
to crack, London Irish.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, I didn't think they could stitch together all his talent. I didn't think that.
No.
I didn't think that would happen.
It seemed like it's breaking the rules of logic, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's just jettisoning in a load of big names. And
mind you, the coach that have got in.
Kidney and Kiss.
Both of them, actually.
Yeah.
They've been around a lot. I mean, Kidney in particular is very, very astute. So, you know, maybe they can do it.
And Kiss did some very good things at Ulster before the last kind of 12, 18 months of him, where things just seem to slip through his grasp. But no, fair play, London.
And massively important for them that they're in that new Brentford Stadium in the Gallagher Premiership next season. They've got off to a really good start. It's a World Cup year. They're in the Challenge Cup, which means they can just take the next couple of weeks very easy and focus on that, on those Christmas games.
Yes, definitely.
But let's get there to the other end of the table. And I mean, I genuinely thought only a couple of weeks ago that it was going to be touch and go whether Saracens would escape relegation.
Hear me now, believe me later. Put it on the board. These boys are finishing fourth.
Fourth.
They're finishing fourth.
Let's get it on the whiteboard.
Put it on the board.
We'll do it later.
it's up there. It's on top. On top.
Yeah, it's on top. Write it. Do you want me to write it?
Yeah, you carry on talking. I'll write it.
Saracens finished fourth.
Wow. And so I am now
sixth.
Disappointingly confident that Saracens are going to stay up, partly because of how well they're playing and partly because of how badly other teams are playing.
Well, so this is the year of the paper tiger, right? Because, let's think of the teams. We've got Exeter, awesome. We've got Northampton, who are playing brilliant rugby.
Yeah.
And everybody else is frail. So they'll be beating each other.
Yeah, yeah.
So the standard, so perversely, it's going to go against them in terms of relegation.
Because the bottom team will get a higher score than
but
ever before.
I reckon it's going to be one of the lowest points tallies to get into the top four.
You're probably right. There might only be about 15 points between five relegation and...
Exactly. So five games have gone now.
Top six.
And I think Sale are top of the group who've only won two games.
Correct,
so,
yeah.
Yeah, so it's the unbeaten team who are... I can't remember who... So one team's unbeaten.
No one's unbeaten.
Oh, is that right?
Sale are fifth, having won two games out of five.
Yes.
Correct.
That's nuts.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yes.
That is nuts.
So watch out, because Saracens are coming, and they're going to beat everyone. Everyone is going to go down hard to Saracens.
Yeah, I think that's right. Saracens will win most of their games from here on in.
Yeah.
They'll lose a few just before and during the Six Nations.
So there's
apart from that, they'll win most of the games.
Now let me argue the other side of the coin on this. Okay, something which worried me. So I don't think Bath are very good. I think they're sort of muscular. I'm not even sure they know who their coach is, frankly.
They're decent at home,
and they've got
I mean, everyone's sort of decent at home. You know. Okay, point I'm trying to make is Bath are okay-ish to bad. But they really put in a shift. I don't think Bath could have played any better or been any more up for it on Friday night. I think this is what Saracens are going to see every week. Every week Saracens come, everyone's going to want to give them an absolute spanking.
Yep.
Nigel Ray is not going to be invited. I mean, that was pathetic, but by the way. If teams aren't letting Nigel Ray in or not giving him a welcome, that's absolutely pathetic.
Yeah, so early last week there was an article that said clubs are not letting Nigel Ray go to away games.
Or that he's not welcome.
He's not welcome, that's what they said. And then... But then the way it was put closer to the game was Nigel Ray doesn't feel able to come or doesn't want to come, has decided it not to come. So I don't know if it's off his own volition, but if there is any...
Mott McCall said it's very disappointing.
Yeah, well, I think it is really poor form.
It is.
And I've got to say, when I said as much on Twitter and said, we're better than this, rugby, whatever you think, like, stand there and scowl at him. Fine. Have a joke at his expense when he's there. But extend an invite and be civil. And I was actually really disappointed with, and I was surprised as well, with the number of people who disagreed with that sentiment. I thought that was a given for rugby, I don't know if it is.
He's given far more than he's taken away. He's invested.
That's irrelevant.
Yes,
even if he was a scumbag, which he's not.
He's clearly not.
He's clearly overstepped the mark in a big way and is paying a severe punishment. Yeah. But to not be the biggest, civil, it's like someone who punches you in a game, you still shake their hand at full time. Same difference.
Yeah.
The biggest danger is he walks away. You don't want men like that walking away from rugby. So, yeah, I share all of your sentiments on that, Tim.
Did you hear Billy and Owen talking after the game?
Yeah.
I mean, again, if you had any doubt that these guys are rolling their sleeves up and really digging in.
That's what you wanted, isn't it? To galvanise Saracens. Yeah. That's what they needed.
It's like the Maginot line. they're advancing rather than digging in.
These are the two problems I see him having. One, everyone's up for it now. Everyone wants to beat Saracens, teach them a lesson. Yada, yada, yada. Number two is they only have a handful of selection games every year. And so they call it the selection game, where they pick their strongest 15. Other than that, it's fairly fluid. People come in, people come out. You know, it's...
I think Exeter be one of those selection games. Is that Christmas? Is there a Christmas?
Merry Christmas, lads. Christmas Merry Christmas.
Yeah.
And I just wonder, will that affect their mentality if they're picking the strongest side every week? Rather than rotating like they usually do, taking risks with younger players or being able to rest a Mario or whatnot.
29th of December.
Oh, yes.
Sunday 29th of December at Sandy Park.
No, it's not the one I'm working. Damn it. But that's fine.
That will be a good
what a game.
Good game to be at.
Wow.
So one of the reasons they can have these selection games is because they don't have to put their full 15 out every week. I wonder if they'd start doing that every week, whether that starts to degrade, you start to pick up a few injuries, your starting 15 doesn't look like starting 15 anymore. I just worry, that they could get worn down a bit.
I suppose the one little caveat we should put in amongst all of this is that in an unprecedented move, PRL, or I don't know if it's RFU, or whoever, has asked for Saracens to open their books mid-season. So they can have a good...
No, they've offered it, haven't they?
I don't know.
I thought they offered to give their books mid-season.
I don't know. It's happening.
I mean, it was on the books anyway, so what difference does that make?
Yeah, it would make sense.
So I have got...
Because if they were found to be over this season, before the end of the season, there would be potential for a further points deduction this season.
Yeah, we don't need that. So I've got a couple of fixes for the salary cap. Number one, players are equally as culpable as the club. So what you do is you sign a statement of what you think the club has given you. You hand in that statement. If it is found that you have more than what is put on your statement, like a tax return to RPL. RPL? PRL?
PRL.
Yeah. Then you too are fined. Just like you've been doping. So if you want to go and get professional advice, you can get professional advice off an agent. They can do your statement for you.
Here we go. It's JB's way in as an IFA. Spied a new little business for yourself.
And
I'll sign that off.
If you get caught, you get your license then revoked from being a player agent. So you got, and also, if you are within 10% of the cap, you have to declare it yourself to Premier Rugby, and then your books are open for all the other teams for the rest of the year. If you're within 10% or 5%, you're in like a red zone. That's what I think.
I'm not sure on the making players culpable.
Why?
I mean, more information, but we should just have trust in the clubs.
No.
They're employees. They're employees paying their national insurance.
But they're not. I mean, so say if they are getting some flights, please just declare it. If you are getting some, if you're getting a house, just put it on your thing. As long as you declare it, you're in the clear. All you need to do is declare it.
Yeah, it just seems like you're creating more admin.
Delicious admin.
Yeah.
Well, let's link on to this one then, because Matthew Hussey's tweet to @rugbypodcast, he says, I would like a full exposition, boys, on how Saracens' Slytherin will chase down the effing useless Hufflepuffs that are my beloved Tigers. I think they're trying, but they simply are not working as hard as every other team.
They don't know what they're doing, is what it comes down to, I'm afraid.
It's not a lack of effort.
From the mindless. They're just completely mindless.
Yeah, it's very. I thought this game was really interesting for a whole host of reasons. Obviously, it's a big derby match, Northampton hosting Leicester. But when you look at the squads on paper, you would argue that Leicester have got the more impressive squad on paper, or certainly the more impressive first 15, given that they had Gens,
two England props, Cole, fresh back from the World Cup, Youngs, Argentinian Ford, second row in.
Yeah, Lavanini's in there. But Youngs, Ford, Tuilagi and Johnny May, yeah, and Jonah Holmes, all full-fledged internationals in their own right. But they, I mean, Tuilagi was totally, totally anonymous in this game. Well, the most times I noticed Tuilagi was when he was missing tackles on Tautai and Nairavoro.
Yeah, so...
Not Tautai.
Tautai's on his side.
Sorry, Tautai. Proctor.
Yeah, and, so... The only thing I can suggest, right, is this is like a really bad version of what Wasps used to be, which is throw Danny Cipriani on the field and just hope he runs everything and wins. I don't think George Ford is like a Danny Cipriani. I think you've got a coach in Jordan Murphy, by all means, you know, seems like a good guy, but, you know, he's then got Bakewell on one side, who wants to do whatever Mark Bakewell wants to do. He's got Mike Ford on the other side, which is a semi-precarious position to have Mike Ford on your staff.
Working underneath you.
Working underneath you, for now.
Yes, ask Gary Gould.
Yes, I mean, yeah, it's not... touch and go.
And you might be touching on something, because, I mean, I don't know how the inner workings, how it goes at Leicester, but I can imagine, with the club being in the situation they're in, and therefore the coaches feeling the pressure they're in, I could imagine people almost taking care of their own business.
Yes. Make sure we get... Win every line out, regardless of what it means to the team.
If you were Mark Bakewell, you'd be like, I've had a great day if my line out stats look good.
Yeah.
Forget about the score. Because I might keep my job then.
And on the Monday morning meeting, when everyone goes, what's happened? And there will be a Monday morning meeting, I'm sure.
Well, the line outs were good. Don't forget the line outs were good.
Look like,
they weren't, by the way. They were absolutely
garbage. So it probably Mark Bakewell did that for the team. stacks up. And do you know what? It's a funny thing about lineouts. People do that. Like, they are more interested in their stats of being, you know, the number one lineout than they are about actually putting balls in the right places.
Well, when you're in a position where you feel under pressure and, like, there could be can you come for a meeting? We need to have a word sometime. Then you entrench back into that. But when you're in a kind of, it's a much more liberating position to be in when you can really throw your lot in with everyone else.
Yeah.
And, you know, look at Saracens and the way you would never imagine or envisage a situation where Alex Anderson is going away going, oh, the defence was bloody brilliant. Oh, yeah, we lost, but the defence was brilliant. I'm not accusing any Leicester coaches of doing this. All I'm saying is the pressure that starts to mount will do weird things to the psychology of the people that are trying to come, that are already a sort of hodgepodge of people trying to come together.
At this point, George Ford is there. Literally their only hope. That is it. If George Ford can't win games on his own, forget it. If he gets hurt, forget it.
He managed it last season.
Yeah, he did.
He just won enough last season, pretty much on his own, to save them.
Mm.
And it was touch and go then.
I don't think George Ford's hanging about. I think George Ford will play out this season and will want to move. Or he's going to run out of his contract. That would be my best guess.
There's not many players, given the way that they're playing and the kind of the funk that there seems to be around the club, I can't imagine many players who will come to the end of their contract and have an offer to stay at Tigers and a commensurate offer from another club and think, oh yeah, Tigers.
Well, he's in a really weird position, right? So the way that I've sketched this out in my mind is he didn't move from Bath to Leicester not to win trophies. You know, you go to Leicester because you want to win. You want to be one of the world's great players, one of the Premiership's great players, and he is in that sort of category.
And club
rugby matters because, you know, I think that Johnny Wilkinson's greatest achievement wasn't the World Cup. I think it was his two European Cups. If you want to be a legend, you've got to win things. So he's gone to Leicester for good money. So someone's either going to have to match his money, which I don't think there's many teams that can afford him, full stop.
In the Premiership. And he's got to stay in the Premiership to play for England,
exactly,
which he wants to play for England.
So he's going to have to either have a pay cut to go to a team which doesn't really need him. Because, I mean, he could go to Saracens if he wanted to play for 100k.
Unless he goes to Yeah. If he wants to win things, he's probably going to have to take a pay cut.
Yeah.
He's to get a pay rise, he'd have to...
Go Worcester or something.
Worcester, yeah, yeah. Someone with the room in the cap.
Yeah, so he's in a...
Or go to France.
So I have got a plan for him.
Here we go.
Here we go. If I'm George Ford, I don't think England are going to be any good for the next couple of years because they're going to go through a transition. Eddie's got to rebuild his coaching squad. There's going to be a World Cup hangover, yada, yada, yada. So does England master at the moment? Not so much. I leave my rugby union contract. I go and play for St Helens.
So you retire from rugby?
I retire from rugby. I go straight to St Helens. He's always wanted to play there. He's at the height of his powers. Just give rugby league 1 year, maybe even 2 years. In those 2 years, you've then got 12 premiership clubs watching you play, reorganising their house, knowing that they can get you back in and they've got time to organise their salary cap to get you in. Mm. Then you've got 2 years to win your place back for the World Cup. You come back a returning hero, having won Super League and whatnot and done all that stuff, and then boom. You're playing for England again, and you're probably the fly half for a very successful
Interesting
team.
Interesting idea. And just to jump across to, and again, focus on that game a little bit more, if George Ford were out of the picture, at the minute, who would be the English 10 that steps in? Because before the World Cup, we would have said Danny Cipriani. And when you think about the amount of anger and frustration directed at Eddie Jones for not picking Danny Cipriani, what has happened? What is going on?
Oh, sorry, just on that.
So potentially, looking at the Leicester-Northampton game, is James Grayson the next... I think we had a question We had a question on it saying, is James Grayson the third England 10?
Well, just before we jump on site, in terms of Leicester Tigers, do you know... I can't remember who told me this. Anyway, it doesn't really matter. Do they might look at... I mean, it might be in the press, but wouldn't Toby Flood be an interesting option just to bridge that gap whilst they get this young lad through?
Yeah, if they're in the championship, 100%. But regardless.
I mean, yeah. Toby Flood's better than their second best 10, right? And he's played for Leicester Tigers for a while.
And by the way, I forgot to mention this last week. Again, I sort of waxed lyrical about Andrew Trimble, a lovely bloke, and how good is he. Toby Flood, he's so good. If he wasn't in Newcastle, I guarantee you would see him appearing in more places.
Really?
I think he's such a natural. Like broadcaster type, I think he's really good.
I know he's a smart bloke, and he's got good experience because he went France for Toulouse for
he's won things. He's been relegated. He's done a lot.
Yeah, he's got more England caps than you think as well.
Was he 70? Maybe.
I don't think it's quite that many.
50.
I'd say in that range.
He was England starting 10.
England 50 caps. I reckon. I'll go for 32.
60.
There you go.
I told you it was more than you would think.
Wow.
Yeah. From 2006 to 2014, he played for England.
Oh, he was in England in the dark years.
And World Cup final year.
So, James. Anyway, back to what we were talking about.
So James Grayson, is James Grayson England's third best 10 at the minute?
Marcus Smith is not playing particularly well.
Nope.
Sippers is not
playing well. I mean, Sippers would get the credit based on the past history.
Well, like player of the season. Last year,
yeah.
I do wonder if there's more to this Sippers thing than meets the eye.
Yeah.
I don't think it's just a temporary dip in form. I think there might be some underlying niggle here.
So I think with Sippers, he was focusing on the World Cup. And he's been clear multiple times. Playing for England and the World Cup is his big dream. Mm. He will not play in another World Cup.
Nope.
So it would be totally understandable for him if his focus moved, because he's what, 32 now? If his focus now shifts onto a one big last deal, and that would be France or Japan or wherever it is, it might be in the Premiership, but I think it wouldn't surprise me if something happened.
In my mind, he's not got another Premiership move in him.
If what you want is the highest possible salary, he will not get that in the Premiership.
No.
He will get it in France or possibly Japan.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think he probably has to move to France at this point. And, you know, maybe it's Gloucester that come in for George Ford.
And possibly...
Maybe it's Gloucester that's going to come in for Johnny May.
What was the order that he... what was the order that he did things in? Was it he re-signed or he took up the option of the extra year with Gloucester... And then he was turned down from England, or did he miss out on the World Cup and then sign up with Gloucester? Because
I think it was the former. I think he signed up and then missed out on the World Cup.
Yeah, so he might have put all his eggs in the England basket. Would he have moved when he had the chance? last year.
I kind of feel he should have.
I suspect, yes.
And I think that...
And that is probably playing on his mind.
Probably playing on his mind.
Because he probably had an offer from, I don't know, Toulouse
La Rochelle,
or... Yeah, Racing, Lyon, any of the French clubs that are spending big money, he would have had... I don't know, 500, 600,000 euros a year. That maybe
being
even more
signed
than that.
As the English Premiership's player of the season.
Yes, yeah, and he will have taken significantly less than that to stay at Gloucester. Better than what he was previously on at Gloucester, from what I understand. But
yeah, if you could go to, I mean, Lyon need to fly off actually. Maybe it's Lyon.
He'll have offers, but I wonder if that is what's playing on his mind.
But
the kind of he's already. It's speculation here. Yeah, he's a professional.
Yeah, he is. Like I say. One of my favourite players to watch, but he doesn't seem to last very long in one place for a long time.
No. Now,
Jose Mourinho, isn't he?
Yes, I think that's
a few years. To take that conversation, because we got slightly sidetracked, we started off going to talk about James Grayson.
Yeah.
Now, James Grayson, I think this was a remarkable performance, partly because he wasn't due to play. So Northampton, it was remarkable.
My fantasy rugby draft team knows it.
Yeah,
that bigger my fly half.
Oh, devastating.
Northampton, an hour or two before kickoff, lose three seasoned internationals, three of their best players, three of their highest paid players in Owen Franks, Courtney Laws, and Dan Bigger, and you could not tell based on any of the individuals that replaced them or their team performance because. Northampton were by far the better team.
Amazing, isn't it?
And they wanted to play the rugby. And James Grayson absolutely bossed it.
Yeah, everyone's talking about Saracens cheating the salary cap. No one's talking about Northampton and using witchcraft or voodoo. Because there's no explanation for this. They're not a significantly different team to the one that Jim Allender left. And yet they're amazing. They're playing amazing rugby.
Chris Boyd.
I'd love to know what he gets up to.
Chris Boyd, Sam Vesti as well. And I think... You know, contrasting Leicester and Northampton, you're right to point out the actual quality of the players in the squad. But, yeah, I think it is. I think it could be as simple as that. When everyone chucks their lot in together and everyone feels like they're safe, wanted, valued, you know, and going to stick around for the foreseeable, then I think it's just a demonstration, as we've seen with Exeter Chiefs down the years, that you can be better than the sum of your parts.
Yeah. Do you know, the Premiership, because of its makeup, because of the salary cap, because everything's so competitive now, you will see the good teams. I don't mean the good individuals or the good list of names, the good teams rising to the top, which is exactly why you've got the Bristols, Northamptons, Saracens.
You're doing
Exeter.
That thing, you've got the
Bristols.
That's a football cliche, doing the plurals. You've got your Bristols, your Saracens.
But of course, we don't have Bristols, do we? We have one Bristol. Idiot.
just to mention two of the star performers for Northampton, say, other than Grayson. So, Naira Voro was unreal.
Yeah, you mentioned you only noticed Tuolangi when he was... missing Nairavoro tackles. There is no shame in not tackling Tangele Nairavoro.
True, but the contrast between Manu Tuolagi, the 13, well bedded in at Leicester, been there a long time, knows certainly George Ford and a lot of the men around him very well. His opposite man, Matt Proctor, first proper game.
Ran rings around him.
First Premiership start, absolutely ran rings around him.
Yeah.
And it was... Proctor is a very, very good player. Chris Boyd knows him well. But it was the way that Grayson and the team and Northampton structures got Nairavoro and Collins and Furbank and Proctor into space. The way that they picked their timing. The movement of the back lines compared to... Leicester did it once. Where in the first half, where Taute went through the middle, they had one coherent backs move in an 80-minute game.
Yeah,
that was it.
And then the last lineup breaks down completely. Yeah. That last try was just—it was heartbreaking. Those sort of tries should not happen. I mean, you can't make mistakes like that.
Yeah. In summary, well done Northampton, Leicester.
Yeah, Northampton's the second best team in the Prem now. Hang on. This is so confusing, you know.
Saracens
are the best team in the Prem.
Saracens, Exeter.
But we can't talk about them at the top of the table.
Yeah.
We've got to talk about them as if they're Newcastle or someone.
Exeter, what an absolute beatdown.
Oh my God, it was hiding.
They changed nearly all of their team from the European Cup last week. So yeah. this So this, you'd think, is not Exeter's strongest team.
So I saw...
Yeah.
It's not. It's their second team, bar a couple of players.
But it's the same as Northampton, isn't it? Like, this is kind of what I was saying about their England players. It doesn't really matter that if they have their England players back or not, because they all do the same sort of jobs. Sam Hill is running around bossing it, or... I saw O'Flaherty's first game, or one of his first games, when he played at Harlequins away last year. I thought, this lad's not up to much. Like, not going to... Don't think he's going to make it. Bloody brilliant.
Yeah, that try he scored.
Bloody brilliant.
Outrageous.
Yeah. It was outrageous. This was a very, very impressive.
Hang on. Is Stuart Hogg not playing? No, Dolman played.
Dollars played.
Yeah. Ian Whitten played instead of Henry Slade.
Yeah. Steeno, who's obviously very good, but he's now 35.
He's still
very good.
Dominated.
Yeah. Don Armand was like he was from a different planet. Don Armand, I've not seen Don Armand play that well for maybe a year or so. He was awesome.
Well, I think he would have been. Yeah, but he's one of the players that has a point to prove.
Yes.
To Rob Baxter and Tom O'Flaherty are going, oi, big game next week at Sale in Champions Cup. We want it. We want a slot, please.
I mean, Don Armand's got it stacked against him just to be the best massives in Barbary and in the club. I mean, that's a fierce competition.
And the other team that really struggling. And are we? Should we call it that? The relegated team is going to be Leicester
or Wasps.
Or Wasps.
Yeah,
possibly London Irish if they haven't hit a run of bad form.
Possibly. Those are my two favourites. I wouldn't like to definitively say, because you could see, like, someone like London Irish.
They did it last time they were up. They won early in the season.
Yeah.
And then you can hit fell off a cliff.
You can hit a wall, which could be other teams get their act together better. It could be a string of injuries. But there are teams who are going to go... Yeah. Other teams are going to go through bad patches.
But what do we have? We have, like, 2 weeks of Europe.
Yeah.
Then we have a couple of weeks of Premiership.
2 weeks Prem.
Then we've got two more weeks of Europe.
Yeah, because we've got the six games to get in by January.
Yeah, and then we're near enough Six Nations.
Six Nations.
So Leicester lose all their players again.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Well, they will lose George Ford, which is the most important...
The entire team has gone then.
Yeah.
I mean, gone. So the way I look at it is Leicester probably have the better... I mean, they do have the better players. They don't have the financial struggles that Wasps have.
It's the worst year to happen. Yeah. This is the worst year. A World Cup year.
But Wasps, in fairness to them, have a more settled coaching structure. They probably play better rugby, but they don't have the top-end talent. So between those two, they're screwed. They're just screwed.
So, yeah.
Mind you, they are playing all the way through to July. So it's not like...
I really hope that... And I know Joe Launchbury has re-signed a new deal. Uh-huh. It said an unconfirmed length of time. So I don't know whether that... Oh, who knows whether they've...
End of the season.
He's made sure he's got new relegation clauses inserted into his contract. But I hope that Dai Young doesn't start getting any stick heading his way. Because do you know what? I'm absolutely certain that Dai Young will have had job offers. He was always linked with all kinds of jobs, even the Welsh job. I bet he was offered the Welsh job. That would be my prediction.
I'd hope he wasn't.
Really?
Yeah, I think he falls into the category of... Good bloke. I'm not convinced on his coaching, frankly.
What?
I'm not.
On what basis are you saying that?
Conversations.
Well, he's a director of rugby, not a head coach.
Okay. I'm just saying, I'm not overly convinced. I think there are far better coaches out there.
Well, he's not a coach. He's a director of rugby.
He does coach on.
But he's a director of rugby.
For instance, he doesn't coach the line out in the air, but he does coach it on the ground.
He's a coach in a way that Gatland's a coach.
Okay.
He's not. He'll set up his team of coaches, set the course and the direction that they want to go, make sure everyone's on task, but other people will be out there running around with the boots on, doing the actual work.
I mean, he does still scrimmage with players and whatnot. So,
yeah, Kieran Brooks in Kieran Brooks' kitchen before he signed. But I really hope that it doesn't come down on Dai Young, because I actually think with all the things that are going on, it's easy to forget everything that's going on off the pitch at Wasps. And I think a lot of players are still at Wasps because of Dai Young. Joe Launchbury, for example. I bet Dai Young is a massive part of why he's still
there. Who is there left to go? I mean, thinking about it, they've lost all their good players outside of Launchbury. I mean, fair play is, I mean, the sun stayed. The new guys that they've got in are basically New Zealanders. They've got a lot of guys from the Championship. I mean, they do deserve credit in that respect, which is they have bought, I think they've signed quite well, actually. I think Kibirigi is an awesome signing. And they have signed well for a couple of years. But it's always a struggle for them. It's always a struggle to hold on to Daly and hold on to these other players.
Yeah, I know, I understand that. But I think it's different. Like the Leicester situation doesn't have the same context. The Wasps context is there's all this stuff going on off the field. Yeah. There's all these potential financial issues as the backdrop. They can't then compete and keep hold of these guys. Leicester don't have that situation.
No, they don't. And that's kind of... So, yeah, that's basically what I'm saying, which is Leicester have the better squad, the better top-end talent. They have none of those issues to compete with. But I do think Wasps... And this kind of does feed into your point. I think they're just a more settled team. So they've got... I don't know. Either of these teams could potentially go on a run.
Yeah, and I think they will do.
I think Leicester are more likely to go on a run. I think Wasps are more likely to pick up, you know, the odd win here or there.
I think both will. There'll be times this season where you think both these teams have turned the corner and other teams have lost four on the bounce. I'm just not certain I want to call it yet. I don't want to be too reactionary.
No.
Why was Sapuanga on the bench?
Why was what?
Sapuanga on the bench. Do you know? Was it injury or something?
No, I don't think
he'd be on the bench if he was injured.
Don't think so.
Huh? It's just a strange guy to leave out.
Yeah, his form has not been incredible, has it, since he came in?
No, but they are paying him a lot of money, so he should in some form play.
They are paying him a few quid.
Yeah. And of course, what's his name? Fekitoa. I'm only talking about Fekitoa because he's in my fantasy team. But that guy needs to start playing. He needs to go over his hand injury and start playing now.
I'd much rather Talisa Vianu got back and playing. Again, that's got nothing to do with my fantasy rugby draft team. Oh, dear.
Did anyone watch Quinn's Gloucester today?
Yeah. Yes, I saw it. I was, you know what, pleasantly surprised by Quinn's.
I was in equal parts, thought it's great to see Quinn's really dogging it out, and also going, God, that's not very Gloucester-y.
Yeah.
It feeds into the conversation we had about Sippers.
Sippers.
Doesn't it?
Yeah.
It's all about him.
Yeah. Was Sippers on the field? I can't remember now. Was Sippers on the field when Billy 12 Trees came on and kicked?
The goal.
Or missed the kick.
I mean, how many times can Gloucester see the same videos of Billy 12 Trees spannering kicks?
He's been a 90% kicker.
Has he really?
Yeah.
He was. No.
So we had this conversation a few weeks ago about his kicking.
Yeah.
I look back and I think it was two seasons ago, he was the second most accurate kicker in the league.
That is amazing.
Close to 90% across a full season, across 100 kicks.
Obviously, they were at Sale and they won that game. And they could have easily have lost it. And if they had lost it, that would have gone down to 12 Trees' kicking. He spanned two of them completely wide when it really mattered.
And this was a big, big loss. Oh. Big miss.
Yeah. And this one as well?
Yeah. I didn't think Quinns were amazing, but I was surprised. I was pleasantly surprised for them. Because of the steal and the way that they actually closed the game out towards the end, and particularly that last kind of 5 minutes or so, where they just kept pushing Gloucester back, make them play from their own 22, defence holds, push them back, make them play from the 22. I thought that was awesome.
The knock on the Quinns' performance today is that they shouldn't have really conceded, two of their tries.
Through the centre of the
road. How does that happen?
Yeah, that is basic, isn't it?
That's just never. I mean, if say the Morgan one, you can concede in the middle through like that. If you're bludgeoning your way through 1 inch at a time, sometimes that happens, but it was just too easy. Yeah. But those are also really, really easy fixes.
Yeah, you're right. And it's the kind of thing that Gustard, given his previous history as a defence coach, he will be furious at that.
God.
But he will be right. So that should not happen a single further time this season. That should be the easiest fix in the world.
Yeah, and if they don't concede those tries, it's actually a comfortable win then.
Yeah, you're right.
So, they need to... Yeah, bits and pieces to work on. I thought James Lang did well.
Yeah, Lang looked solid. Campagnaro did some good defensive work. He was man-marking Ollie Thorley at one stage. Mm. He made like three hits on the bounce in a one passage of play.
Yeah, I've got a feeling that... what's his name? The winger, Ibatoya. I think he could be a future England star.
Well,
you've got to get him in the game.
I'll tell you
more.
What. Yeah. Toby Jones tweeted us at Rugby Podcast and said some Six Nations bolters. Any suggestions?
Ibatoya.
Gabriel Ibatoya could be one.
I think
Thorley could be another. For me. Alex Dombrandt as the number eight.
Dombrandt potentially.
I love how he picks his moments.
Dombrandt is quality. Yeah. I loved Gustav talking about Dombrandt at the end.
If I was Dombrandt, I'd start to get a little bit annoyed now. It's like, yeah, we get it. That was funny about, you know, all the drinking and being a student and the diet.
Yeah,
but can we move on from it now? I mean, he's a seasoned professional that scores tries.
He's still got a bit of a university rig, though. You saw him spraying the beer in the change rooms afterwards.
Guys, stop it. Stop it now.
So there's a few. I think James Grayson, potentially. When you look around at fly half position, he could be a squad member.
Yeah.
Could someone like, I'm thinking the scrum half position.
Oh, there's got to be, there has to be a change for the scrum half for me.
So if you were looking, trying to look 4 years in the future, would you be thinking like a Harry Randall type character?
Harry Randall's one I was going to mention, yeah.
Potentially. The squad.
Yeah.
Will Cliff.
I think it's mad that when you look around at the rest of the world, England's scrum half stock is not good.
Yeah, and you look at the depth that England have in some positions, like, say, open side flankers.
Yeah, I mean, it's not terrible. I just don't think they get the opportunity.
Well, you're right, they've not.
Yeah, a lot of players...
Well,
they've not had the opportunity in England, but, I mean, well, we've got three starting South African nines in the Premiership.
That is true.
You've got an Australian nine in Nick White.
But, you know, you've got the...
Kieran Youngs are...
Yeah, you've got Kerr Youngs, but like you've got Simpson playing at Gloucester, who has been electric for periods, and has been so his whole career.
Signed as a backup to Willie Hines, who is in England.
Who is in England, very English, actually. There's some talent out there. I mean, Saracens have got two English scrum halves.
They do.
They've got Harry Randall, you've got the other one, what's his name?
Yeah, we could go through a whole list. We could go through every club. There are scrum halves out there. I'm just saying the stock's not that good when you compare it to other nations.
I agree with that.
So that would be a position that I would be trying to solve a 4-year plan on, and maybe someone like Harry Randall is a potential. Yeah.
The other one, it would be tight head.
Yes.
And do you jump someone like Aaron Painter into the squad?
Aaron Painter's very good. Very good.
I mean, Will Stewart at Bath.
I'm glad you mentioned him. I've seen him play twice this season. He's been awesome.
And now he's fit. What about the Bath Lou said? Beno Urbano.
But it's good to have him back fit. So, yes.
I mean, it's not a bolter anymore because he should have been a fully fledged squad member. And Rory Hutchinson will have to go in Scotland and.
Has to play.
Fraser Dingwall as well. He's a Scotland.
Is he Scottish?
I think he's Scottish.
So, sounds Scottish.
Sounds very Scottish.
Furbank.
Maybe Furbank's the Scottish guy.
Maybe they're all Scottish.
I thought Furbank was English, but I think Furbank...
How about friend of the pod, Jamal Ford-Robinson for tight head?
Absolutely.
I mean, I can't think of a better scenario.
Jamal Ford-Robinson for president.
Yeah, he's already got... I think he's got an England cap.
In the England XV game.
That's not a cap.
No, he went to Argentina.
Did he?
Did he play? He definitely went to Argentina. I don't know if he played in Argentina.
So yeah, George Furbank, he went to Bedford School, born in Huntingdon, in Cambridgeshire.
I really
like George Furbank.
Yeah, he looks really good, doesn't he?
Yeah,
he looks class.
I mean, they all look pretty good at the moment.
Yeah,
I think I'd look quite good playing Northampton.
Playing 15 for Northampton.
Yeah. Tom O'Flaherty as a Wales bolter. I think he's eligible for Wales and England.
So
O'Flaherty must be eligible for Ireland as well. With a name like
Craig Doyle was talking about this today on BT.
I thought he was. Yeah, he's not.
He's not eligible for Ireland. I want him to be eligible. Apparently, he speaks French too.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I don't know if that means he's French. It just means he speaks French.
GCSE French.
I'm trying to think of some other bolters.
Dingwall went to the same school as Hutchinson, and he played for England under-20s, did Dingwall.
Are they drawing all their players from one private school in the Midlands somewhere, like Uppingham?
Bedford School.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
The priority positions for England, as you identified, Phil, tight head, scrum half.
Yes.
And
a 12. Because you've got Manu moving in, or Farrell moving out, or Piers Francis.
I would like to see more of Will Stewart. I'm not ready to say he is ready for England, but I've really been impressed with him so far.
I agree with that.
Yeah, no, I agree with that, but I would temper that by saying, how many Bath props have we gone, I really want to see him play for England, and their careers have just nosedived. Like Henry Thomas should have been a superstar.
When you leave Sale, weird things happen.
Henry Thomas, Nick Orterak should have been a star. Nathan Capp,
Gaskell, Tommy
like
Taylor,
he was push on.
Yeah,
Sippers never made it since after he left Sale.
Preston.
Yeah, just saying. All these things happened. by the way, what's happened to? Oh no, hang on, I can't use that. It's gone the other way. I was going to say Ashton then, but it's gone the other way.
So yeah, any suggestions on World Cup bolters? Because the squad. When will the squad be announced?
You missed the other prop. What's his name? He started for England, which is unbelievable. Now we think about it, Dave, someone.
Former Sale prop.
No, former Bath prop.
Oh, Davy Wilson.
Well, wasn't he? Yeah.
He was Newcastle then.
No, he was. Oh, was he Newcastle then?
He was
Bath.
Newcastle first, then Bath,
then back to Newcastle.
Yeah.
Hooker as well. Harry, get bloody Harry Thacker in there. Come on.
It sounds nice, and I'd like it to happen. But when you lose the World Cup final to South Africa, I just can't see it.
Yeah.
Well, they had Scout Brits in their squad.
Scout Brits is a much bigger man than Harry Thacker, right?
If I had to say who's the hooker, English eligible hooker, who's most like Scout Brits?
That is very true.
So I'm not saying he'd start above Jamie George or whatever, but just, you know.
If you had Thacker on you.
We should celebrate these unique talents a little bit more rather than.
I don't know. I mean, look, I'm just thinking this through now. If I've got a bench and I put Harry Thacker on it because I want to do something with him, you know, in the last 10 minutes, okay, yeah, you make that
game changer.
Make that argument. But what if your starting hooker goes down in minute two?
Minute four.
Yeah.
Like in the World Cup final.
You've got to deal with the enormous men that South Africa are bringing on a constant stream continually.
You solve that by just having a tight head lock on the bench and bring him straight on.
Yeah.
You also earlier were praising Pat Lam and also saying that the Bristol squad is not full of massive talent, and Harry Thacker's one of the key cogs in that machine, which is currently second in the Premiership.
Hey, let's get Pat Lam coaching England. If Pat Lam says that Harry Thacker can play for England, I will not disagree with him. But until that time, I don't think Harry Thacker necessarily fits what Eddie Jones might want.
Eddie Jones was also a very small hooker.
He was actually. Someone told me. I think it was a Japanese journalist. So like, he believes in smaller players that can work hard, that work hard to get bigger. Just based on himself.
I mean,
yeah.
I wouldn't want to upset Harry Thacker. I'll be honest.
No.
He's a stocky little dumper truck.
He is absolutely
trademark Nick Mullins. Yeah. Trademark Nick Mullins.
But as much as I don't want to fight him myself, I also don't fancy him stopping. I'm just trying to think.
Malcolm Marks.
Yeah. Malcolm Marks. He's got to play against Malcolm Marks, isn't he?
Yeah.
He's got to try and tackle bloody
Camille Schat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh God, that guy, that Camille Schat. He was. Did I say it last week?
You mentioned it.
I might mention
it off air.
That's the one rugby player I've stood next to and gone, oh my. No, I've done that a bunch of times. In fact, I did it with the Claremont flanker. What's his face?
Oh, Yato.
I did it with Yato. It's like, Jesus. But with Camille Schat, oh my God.
He's an
animal. What
an
unbelievable specimen.
Toulon had a guy, and I don't know who he is. I have no idea. It looked sort of like a front row, and it wasn't Bastro. and he was in the tunnel at Sale when Sale played them either last year or the year before that. I've never seen a bigger man in my life. So twice that's happened to me. That guy, I still don't know who he is. And the other one who is just unbelievably huge is Jerome Cano.
Yeah.
He's just so intimidatingly massive.
And being up close to Sonny Bill when we were pitch side.
Yes.
Sonny Bill.
Manchester's Sonny Bill.
Just the shape on him.
Yeah.
Just the
tiny waist.
Yeah.
Oh, giant
the shoulder to waist to thigh ratio. Crazy.
The Dupree boys are very, very,
big
very
boys.
Big. Very
There's
big.
Jean-Luc, who got a red card for Sale yesterday.
He dies.
Did you not think, Well, when you look at him, obviously they all look similar, the Dupree boys. Obviously the twins do. But, funnily enough. I just think Jean-Luc looks like a slightly inflated Chris Ashton. They look incredibly similar.
I know
he looks just like Sale's second row, Matt Pottlethwaite. They all look the same.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And Chris Ashton looks a lot like Dylan Hartley.
Yes.
Yeah, so if you get them
all
Chris together...
Chris Ashton looks like a malnourished Jean-Luc Dupree, whichever way you want to put it.
Same colouring.
Yeah, Jean-Luc Dupree is huge. He is a huge, huge man.
They could be... like, think of the position that Sale could be in right now. It's not going to plan for them. 2 wins out of 5.
Well, yeah, is the answer.
And yet, they're still...
I mean, Sale
because
are...
everyone's beating everyone else.
Yeah, Sale are basically the team which you look... You know, they are sort of a standard setter for what does a mid-range good team look like.
They're,
you know, they're
rubbish. They're spending the full salary cap this year. They've got...
No.
They've signed a load of South Africans. They
the
are
reason
going
I say that
it.
Is because they're not as good... This is what I said at start of the pod. They're not as good as a team as those other teams who are actual teams like Saracens and Exeter, you know, the process-driven teams. They've still got to get their players working into their systems, and that's not happened yet.
So I agree with that. On paper, they should be pushing.
Smashing people.
Yeah, they should be top four, and they should be furious if they don't get top four. The way they're playing, and
the way the results have gone, they should be second or first.
Yeah, but on paper they should be right up there. The way that they're playing,
and also
when I was up in Glasgow, they were not.
They
did not
very
play
clunky.
Like a team.
Like you look at them playing. That they played with a lot more cohesion last year, and probably even more the year before that. They're just trying to get the lads kind of bought in. And the other problem they've got as well is they need to put all these big names into a team without necessarily considering how that affects the team. So, you know, the line-out doesn't look so good because they're not as quick off the floor. They don't have a true line-out specialist outside of Bryn Evans.
Well,
and he's 30-something now.
They've got second-row worries, haven't they?
Yeah.
With Lude being out, Beaumont being out, Jean-Luc being suspended for...
Right, Nakarawa's on the way.
A couple of games.
Yeah, I wonder what's going on there.
Yeah.
And then, you know, you've got those centres, you know, 12 playing 13. I'm not sure that's going to work.
And a 10 playing 12.
Yep. Yeah. Not sure that's going to work.
But they're still in the mix.
Hang on, let's talk about
Celtic. They'll be fine. Andy McLeish has tweeted saying, and he's mentioned this, did you see Edinburgh lifting up the goalposts, the padding around the goalposts?
Oh, yeah.
To try and make it harder for Munster to score.
Hey, they won though, didn't they?
Yeah.
I mean, as it happened, Munster went right, I think, and scored a try anyway. But that was callous as much as anything, because had a Munster player dived in,
you've got
a metal post. There's a reason the post protectors are there.
Have you ever seen anyone run into it? Oh, James Haskell.
Oh, James Haskell.
Yeah, other than James Haskell.
How's he getting on? I've not seen any.
Right, suddenly he's trending on Twitter, but I just couldn't be bothered to read why.
No, me neither. I've not seen a single second of it.
No, I don't know either. They tried to neck some beers or something, or neck some drinks or something, which he lost that challenge. And the outrage was something to do with he was later seen necking something else really easily.
No, I saw that again. He drank his own really quickly, and someone he was doing it on behalf of someone else who couldn't do it for medical reasons, and he did it really slowly and lost.
Oh, is that what he did?
So they were saying he deliberately lost, but I don't know.
Who cares? It's not Levant. What's it called? Jungle.
Jungle.
Yeah.
I'm a celebrity.
Yeah, I'm a celebrity. That's it. Yeah. Anyway, best of luck to James. I'm sure he'll be fine. Yeah.
Good luck.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Anything else on this week's games? Ulster had a good win.
They did. Well, absolutely. I mean, it was a bit like what? Welsh regions are dreadful.
Oh, yeah. Let's talk about how bad Welsh regions are.
And now Ospreys let their head coach go. Didn't mention anything on their chat, own communication channels on the subject for 3 days. Just how bad does that look? This is the Welsh representatives in the Champions Cup for the next four rounds. Anyway, and it just it looks tin pot, and the performances in the Pro 14.
Sorry, it doesn't look tin pot, Tim. It is tin pot.
It is tin pot.
It is tin pot.
That specific point is tin pot.
Yeah. Look, Welsh rugby is jobs for the boys. You don't get true professionals in there. I think that's why a Welsh team has to be coached by New Zealanders, because they've got to find someone who is outside of the, you know, the little snake pit, which is South Wales. Get, you know, and they've got to be sort of completely independent, because there's so much politics going on there. As far as I know, I think the Scarlets are funded to a much higher rate than everyone else. It's just a mess. The whole thing's a mess. Actually, I will just roll back a bit. I think Cardiff Blues are doing better than, you know, certainly than the Ospreys. They seem to be spending their money more wisely.
That was an impressive result from Cardiff Blues this weekend, to go to your beloved Benetton and win, given that half of their team was playing for Wales.
Yeah. But by the way, what is it?
I didn't even mention, we haven't even mentioned the Wales Barbarians game. I didn't watch it.
I've not actually watched it.
You don't need to really mention it. I mean, I saw bits of it.
Yeah, I can't see. I know why they've done it, because it's revenue.
I hate it so much, right? Because it is a professional sport, which is meant to mean something. This was just some sort of massive 80,000-person circle jerk with goodbye to Warren Gatland and having Nigel Owens ref. Where I don't care. I do not care one bit about any of that nonsense. Go and play competitive rugby. That's all it's about.
I probably wouldn't phrase it exactly the same, but I just could not get excited for that game.
No.
Could not get excited.
And why are we risking these players in this stupid game? And every 3 minutes it's panning over to Warren Gatland. Warren Gatland, yeah, of course he's there. He's the coach of the Barbarians.
I refer you back to the tin pot regions, which I just mentioned. That's why.
Ugh. Yeah.
It all relates.
Yeah, how do they assemble a Barbarians team so quickly?
They played three games, haven't they? They played Fiji at Twickenham.
Did they go to Brazil?
They went to Brazil. And then came back.
Fair play.
I bet that was good fun.
Yeah.
Any volunteers for a month-long bender after the World Cup?
Yes, please.
Rory, Beth, I'm retiring forever now, apart from maybe Bristol. But I'm retiring forever. Would I like to have a final bender?
Do I have to say goodbye to Rory Best again? I mean, I've said goodbye to Rory bloody Best so many times.
There are also, who were we talking about? When someone ran out. When Munster hosted Racing, Simon Zeebo led the team out. I chatted to Simon Zeebo after the game. All of the focus was on Simon Zeebo, and there was Donica Ryan, who was also there.
By the way, Donica Ryan, you would argue, is probably the more valuable of the two players. I mean, he really sets a tone, like, physically for Racing.
Yes,
he is quality.
I guess my point is, because I'm sure there was other people in that game yesterday who they were focused on. But again, yeah, Rory Best. I mean, he's earned that, you know.
He has.
Look at the number of caps he's racked.
Oh, did you see the Gavin Henson tweet?
Which one?
No. Someone said something like, humble as ever. And then Gavin Henson tweeted about Rory Best. He said, humble. I think it's humble ? And then laughy face, laughy face, laughy face.
Really?
That was it. No explanation. Good old Gav.
Interesting.
And from his genuine account.
Yeah, from the actual Gavin Henson account.
Not blue tick.
Yeah, blue tick Gavin Henson said that. Not Super Gav.
Gav, do a podcast, mate.
He's got stuff to say, hasn't he?
Yeah, do it. Do it, I'd listen. No, I've got nothing else to say, Phil.
Shall we get on to next week's fixtures? Yes. It feels weird having 1 week of Prem, then back to Heineken Cup.
I'm not really into Europe that much at the moment.
Oh, it's interesting now. Rounds 3 and 4, this is where it gets interesting. Mm.
But the problem is you've also got some potential dead rubbers already.
Yeah.
Because that is the trade-off. Early on, every game matters. Later on, half the games are irrelevant.
Yeah, or maybe a third of the games are irrelevant, but by round four, half the games are irrelevant.
Yeah, rounds 4 and 5. So, Friday night.
I'm at this one.
Which, it's a shame that Bath's results have gone the way that Bath's results have gone so far, because Bath host the Titans of Clermont.
No hope.
Which is going to be a beatdown, I think.
Yeah, I don't think Bath's semi-competent power game is going to work too well against Clermont.
No.
How do you think that'll go?
Badly.
Very badly.
Badly. I mean, they might get some useful learning out of the game.
Yeah. Maybe they'll go and find a head coach.
Maybe.
Who knows? there again, we did say that Ulster were going to get a beat down from Claremont, and they won.
True.
So you never know.
Ulster 2-2. Interestingly, I don't know if either of you saw the Will Addison hit in that game that got looked at, and the ref decided to do nothing, even though, to me, it looked like a no-arms tackle.
Will Addison making no-arms tackle?
Yeah.
Don't believe you do that.
And, well, Will Addison, even though they looked at it in the game and said, no, nothing, it was cited and reviewed, and he's got a four-match ban because
what?
Of it. And I think four
matches, no way.
Four matches, it does seem a bit harsh, but I thought it was I was shocked at the time that nothing was done of it. Well,
yeah, fine.
Anyway.
Whatever, fine. There are situations where accidents happen, and that was one of those where Will Addison was running across, the player stepped off his right foot, so Will Addison had a weak arm and
Will Addison,
I think he was trying to pull out, if anything.
Yeah, I don't think it was intentional, definitely. And Will Addison was accelerating into it and then didn't realise how close he was, so it was...
I understand why it's happening. Yeah. I want players to be as safe as they can. I just wish red cards were for
really egregious stuff.
Egregious foul play or deliberate foul play, not accidents. Because I just think that Will Addison was playing in good faith, got stepped and got done, and well, fine. Whatever, four matches seems harsh.
Yeah, so Ulster, Pool 3, Bath are going to lose to Claremont.
Yes.
And then the other game in Pool 3, Ulster host Harlequins, which, even without Will Addison, hopefully Ulster will win that.
Ulster will win.
Jump into Pool 1. Yes. So at 1 o'clock, we've got Lyon versus Benetton.
Two great teams. Two of my favourite teams.
They are genuinely two of your favourite teams.
Let's move on, though, eh?
I would say
Lyon to get their first win.
Yeah.
Where are they?
In Lyon.
I mean, you would... I don't know, is the answer.
Lyon to get their first win.
Yeah, but Benetton are good.
Benetton are good.
No. Lyon will put their best team out at home, and then they'll send a load of reserves to the away
concussion
game.
Concussion boys.
Yeah. The concussion boys, yeah. And then they'll focus on the top 14 game following week.
Lyon, I don't know. I mean, if they get back-to-back wins,
Lyon will win.
Can they do anything?
No.
Well, you could get on the group with four wins.
No.
You could. No. It is possible.
It's
not going to happen.
They're not going to win four games. They're not going to go to Leinster and win. So yeah. No.
Yeah. They've got to host Northampton and go to Leinster, which they're not going to do.
So no.
They could win the next three, I guess. No. They're not going to.
They're not going through. But they'll win.
In that pool also, we've got Northampton hosting Leinster.
Here we go. Now we get to see how good England's current top team are.
Yes.
Okay, so what do I think about this?
I think Leinster will muller them up front. Northampton have had an issue with their scrum, which didn't rear its head against... Well, to be fair, didn't rear its head against Leicester.
Yeah.
It's a big step forward, given how good Leicester are on paper, at least there.
Yeah, and if Franks... I know he dropped out last minute, but if he's fit, you'd hope he would...
Yeah, and Law's back in.
Yeah.
Bigger back in.
And they are at home or away?
It's in Northampton, Franklin's Gardens.
Give me Northampton then.
Wow.
Give me Leinster.
Give me Leinster.
Then on to Pool 2. So we've got on the Saturday.
Phil, apparently, according to Facebook, you use your laptop like an old man. You look 28 and you use your laptop like an old man. So,
do you know something else that's been pointed out lately? Which
have that, Phil.
I think Phil does the most. Now, Phil does many things the most. Lift weights, make sense, speak with reason and backed up with facts. But I think one thing has been pointed out lately that I think you also do, but we all are guilty of, say the word interesting.
I'd say interesting a lot.
It's a way to deflect what I'm saying.
Yeah. I normally...
The problem is, when me and Phil are just together, right, I always think Phil's agreeing with me. He's not. He's just making sounds which sound like they're agreeing with me. So then when I get into an argument later, I go, hang on, Phil, you agree with me, right? He goes, no. Like, I never said that. I just said interesting.
Yeah, that's interesting.
That's all he does. It's very clever.
I reckon he's picked up some tips off of his brother, because that sounds like a very politician type thing to do.
I'm not going to confirm or deny anything.
Exactly. as you shouldn't.
Yeah, but I do say interesting a lot. often to when I disagreed with something.
That's interesting.
Interesting.
Right, wait. Pool two. So La Rochelle are hosting Glasgow Warriors. So La Rochelle, who are out of it, Glasgow are not out of it yet. So this will be an interesting one.
I thought, yeah, I thought it will when be I interesting. Saw La Rochelle in the flesh and just watching them, I think they've got some problems. Actually, yeah. I think Glasgow will beat them.
If Glasgow do win, it's on this pool.
Yeah, Glasgow need it big time, so I'm going to go for Glasgow, actually.
Yeah, Glasgow. Yeah.
Give me Glasgow. The other game in pool two.
Saying something.
Here we go. Here we go.
To go to La Rochelle.
Will you be at the AJ Bell?
I won't be this weekend.
Oh, I will be.
Oh, will you?
Yeah, that's a shame.
When is it?
Sunday at 3 o'clock.
There's no way I can make that game. Damn it. Damn it!
3:15 kickoff.
3:15, yeah.
Oh, well.
Yeah.
Coverage on BT Sport from 3 p.m.
Yeah, so...
Who's going to win, Jay?
I can't look past El Shocks at the AJ Bell.
One of the finest rugby destinations in Europe.
Certainly, in Manchester.
Yeah. As you were trying to tell to us on WhatsApp.
Yep.
Yeah, as you know, you think Heineken Cup Rugby, you've got the Marcel Michelin, you've got the Stade... what's the Toulouse one?
Defense Arena?
Stade Mayol.
Whatever it is. We know
La Défense Arena, the RDS.
Yeah.
The RDS is my favourite.
Kingspan, Toman Park. AJ Bell.
The Wreck is
AJ Bell's brilliant.
The Wreck, yeah.
Have you been to the AJ Bell recently? So, I want to say this. One of the best stadium experiences I've had, and you wouldn't have thought it, watching it on TV, but I loved the Tesla or Telstra Stadium. What was the one we went to in Philly?
Oh, yeah.
The one with the bridge on it.
Oh my God, it's so cool.
But it is in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah, but it's an amazing stadium. Like, I've never seen, like, these ships go past it and they just dwarf the stadium. Like, you can't believe how big these things are.
And don't mistake what I'm saying, because I would love for more people to go and watch top flight rugby in the Northwest. Yeah. But I found that really sad that their last Champions Cup game, they couldn't even get six, I think it was like barely 6,000 people.
Well, just bear with me. It's right next to the Manchester Ship Canal. If you're into civil engineering and history, that is one of the great projects of you know, modern-ish history. Victorian genius at its finest. It's a great stadium.
There's an airfield next to it.
There is Boston Aerodrome.
They should they should do some, like, jet people in, helicopter them in or whatever.
Well, strangely enough, I think that's where the Sailshark's plane lands. There is a Sailshark's plane. That is not a joke. It's a twin-engine thing. I can't tell you the model, but there is one. So I'd go see AJ Bell. It's a great stadium.
There are parallels between the two stadiums, the Philadelphia Stadium and with Barton Bridge, with the
ship canal.
They probably end there, the parallels. But
yeah, no, I would say if you're in the northwest and you're at loose end, go watch Sail Sharks. It is a fantastic ground to visit and a good atmosphere too, and some great rugby.
Great rugby being played by Exeter Chiefs this week.
Well, we'll see. Sail, if we knew the result, we won't play the game.
Sail at home have always got a shot.
They've got Faf de Klerk.
Yes.
And AJ McGinty.
And Denny.
You know, they've got a lot of dangerous
players. And no second rules.
Just remember this. You know, Exeter haven't always had it their own way.
I agree. I think this will be very... I'm calling this one very close. And I could see Sail sneak in this one, but I think Exeter will win. By a single score.
I think Exeter will win this. Yeah,
they looked so good this weekend.
They mean business in Europe as well.
That kit is disgusting. In fact, can we have a moratorium on European kits? They need to go.
Yeah,
they need to go.
Some need to go. Some don't. So I'll give you an example. I think I think Exeter Chiefs can keep their disgusting kits. Because
so disgusting. It would fit in the Pro 14.
Harlequin's disgusting.
But that's the point of it, isn't it? I mean, they've done so many disgusting kits now that they get. It's like Ospreys. Yeah. If it's not disgusting, it's not an Ospreys kit.
It's only 4 weeks till we find till the launch of the new disgusting kit.
Yes. so they get to keep this. But you are right in general. I mean, why do we need it yet another shirt?
Yeah.
I mean, the shirts are fine.
If they were awesome, or like throwbacks, let's say, or they were, I don't know, but they're disgusting. They're all uniformly disgusting.
Not all of them. Do you see, Sale Shark's European kit last year was gorgeous. The white one.
With the thin red piping. Yeah. That was nice.
That was
really nice.
That wasn't their European kit, though. That was their change kit.
Well.
Sky blue one was their European kit.
I'm glad you asked. So what happened, right, is they actually launched a season with like that dark blue home kit with like the silver sharky things. Do you remember that thing? Like last year's kit?
Yeah, I do. The silver fit.
The other kit was an orange kit, right? Like this luminous orange kit. Problem is you couldn't see the sponsor across the chest. So they binned that, and then they moved their European kit to be...
to the change kit.
Yeah.
Clever.
Exactly.
Interesting.
So what are you saying the result will be, JB?
You're saying Sale.
I am saying Sale, yes.
Okay. And we're both saying Exeter. Pool 4.
Yes.
Munster host Saracens.
Big. 3:15 p.m. Saturday. This is the one you want to be in front of your telly watching.
Yeah.
This is big. This pool, there's going to be definitely one, possibly two massive names going out of this pool.
Yeah.
Because they're all going to beat each other.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's Saracens. I've said before, I don't think Saracens will play their strongest team.
I think they will in this one.
They might in this one. Yeah, because they've got the history as well.
Yeah.
Can they do it, though?
Yes.
If they play the full strength team... Yes, they can do it if they play the full strength team.
Yeah, I have no doubt that they'll be fine.
Yeah, so pending what happens Friday at midday when the teams are announced, I'm going for a home win. Saracens.
I'm going for home win regardless of what team that they pick.
So you're going for Munster?
Sorry, they're away, aren't they?
Oh, yeah, no. Sorry, I'm looking at the games that I'm working on, and I'm working on the Saracens home game next week.
Right.
Also, it's in Toman, so there's no
this
argument.
Is Toman Park.
So Munster are winning. So what am I talking about? Forget it. No one has beaten Munster in Europe in 4 years at Toman Park.
At Toman Park,
perfect. Yeah. Saracens will do it then.
Give me Munster.
I picked Saracens, Northampton, and Sale. I'm in for a beatdown of a week.
And then the other game in this pool four is Ospreys hosting Racing 92. Which is not going to go
now,
well.
Now, this will be close.
This is not going to be much fun for Ospreys.
No. The only question on this is, will it be more or less than what Saracens put on Ospreys? So
44-3, was it?
Yeah.
So I think it'll be less because it's at Ospreys.
Mm.
The reverse fixture in 2 weeks' time will be an absolute beatdown.
Hell on earth.
What do you make of the new Ospreys? I can't remember what person it was saying that there'll be a British league by 2022.
Ian Millward.
Yeah.
I think he's... Well, just no. The answer's no. There will not be a British league by then. It doesn't make any sense.
I'd be surprised if there was.
I mean, how would that even... First of all, that would mean basically getting rid of Europe. So that's not going to fly, because Europe's a great product.
Or you get rid of the Premiership.
Yeah, no. The answer is no to that also. Yeah. What would we have? We'd have 12 teams basically from the Celtic Nations, plus the 12 teams. I mean, that's a lot of mouths to feed too, from one TV deal, from one competition. It doesn't make any sense.
But if you can... So
you'd have to conference it, obviously.
Yeah, you'd conference it. And then you could have more derbies and you could spread the time so you get more live televised games. Now, that's how you package it up.
I do like conferences. So the CVC deal, which is coming through for Pro 12, Pro 14, whatever it is, what they will do is when they package up the rights, they might do the rights together, but they'll do it so you can watch basically more product. Successively, so you're not going to have like mixed kickoff times and all that sort of nonsense.
Yeah, you won't have clashes.
Yeah, so the two leagues will interact a lot better, so you can watch more rugby. But there's not going to be a British league.
Yeah, I just can't see it.
No, I really hope not as well.
Yeah,
because for all its faults and issues and the fact it affects that relegation has consequences that are unintended. And the effect it might have on the national game, those old rivalries, like Bath going to Harlequins or Northampton Leicester that we saw at the weekend, I never ever want to not have two of those every year.
Yeah.
Agreed. Yeah.
Bath, Leicester. But all the derbies, the Leicester ones. So Bath, Gloucester's a great one.
Bath, Gloucester's. Bath, Bristol.
Bath,
big.
Bristol.
Yeah. Bath, Bristol. I don't buy Exeter, Bath as a good derby.
Saracens, Quins is more from a Quins perspective, but that's a.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, Saracens aren't even aware that Quins exist most of the time. Like, it pops up on their calendar before the game, but they don't know what's going on at Quins.
It's a place to park their Maserati.
Should they need to?
Richmond.
It's somewhere they drive past on the way to England camp.
Soon you'll have Quins and London Irish again because London Irish are moving back to their home in West London, right on Quins.
Wasn't it Quins Wasps, which were a bit more... Because, aren't Quins part? Weren't Quins and Wasps the same club at one point?
Yes, I think.
I think Wasps yes, found out of Quins.
They were the same. So Quins Wasps was a big one, but Quins Irish was also has got its history because they're both Twickenham, Sunbury.
Yeah,
right there.
Well, obviously Irish and Bath because they're the same team. They just at different times.
London Irish East and London Irish West.
Oh, I tell you what, we've not spoke about. Oh, sorry, saw some more games.
Two more games gone. To talk. Quickly fly through. So Gloucester host Connacht.
Connacht. Gloucester.
Gloucester, who've not won yet. They are at home, but you think they're going to...
Well, they've got Montpellier again at their place, so that could be a win. They could beat Connacht twice, and then they've got who else?
No, Gloucester are not going through, and they will rotate all their players out again.
Yeah,
although
you're right,
they did that, and they still lost this weekend.
Yeah,
you might make the argument they look better against Montpellier.
Yeah, they actually they played with some freedom.
I'm going to go Gloucester at home. They've got issues they need to sort.
And then the other game, I'll go for that. Gloucester at home. The other game is Toulouse Montpellier, the two French. Giants.
No idea. Someone will win that, I guess.
Toulouse.
There you
go. Toulouse at home. And Toulouse are a much more cohesive unit than Montpellier. Montpellier are just massive.
Yes.
Toulouse are actually a very, very good team.
We didn't talk about Toby Booth moving to Harlequins.
Oh, Quins, yeah.
A very astute signing, that, I think.
Yeah. Not a bad appointment.
The only issue with it is I don't think it's a good sign when you're appointing coaches mid-season. Coaches should come in at the start of the season or leave at the end.
Start of the pre-season.
Now, I don't know why Alex Codling's gone, but he has. It's just not... I understand that he had to go for whatever reason, and therefore you need a forwards coach, but usually these things are best dealt with in the off-season. But Toby Booth, good appointment.
Good to see him back in the game.
Yeah, indeed. Absolutely. That's everything, isn't it?
We're done.
So any other business?
Nope. Oh, Tok H went on the weekend. Oh.
Tok H Mini Rugby refused to play against Broughton Park.
That's unbelievable. Why is that?
They said something
Broughton
about
Park thugs.
Something about a frozen pitch. But
unbelievable.
I think they were scared.
Yeah, probably.
To be fair, you were probably quite glad, weren't you? Because it's bloody this morning.
I was genuinely quite looking forward to watching a bit of rugby today. Mini rugby.
Yeah, it's a different one.
I was actually quite looking forward to it. Yeah,
as long as you're not horribly hungover on the Sunday morning.
Can I tell you why?
Oh,
like, I'll be honest. I'll tell you why.
Yeah, please.
Because do you know what I did instead? I'd said I'll come along. But then I went, I've got to do rugby. I'll take Louis to rugby. I ended up.
Oh no.
In Alexandria Park.
Alexandria Park, Wally Range, Moss Side Borders.
Yeah, so I was in South Manchester, in a little cafe in the park, making a Christmas wreath.
Oh, that's nice.
I made a Christmas wreath, which...
Tell me, Sim, are you still? Do you still swear quite a lot on the side of the pitch watching Minnie's rugby? Or have you calmed down a bit?
I'm very, very.
You're very emotional.
I bite my lips so much. The only time I ever say anything, I always clap, just politely clap. Tries whether it's ours or not.
I've seen you punching the ground.
I'll do one. I do occasionally say to other parents, both ours and opponents.
Do you have to figure out?
That's not rugby. Come on, stop.
Yeah.
Do you have to figure out the other parents as to what level that they played at and what sort of knowledge that you're dealing with?
Yeah, I don't.
And then sort of, excuse me, I'm kind of a big deal. I know what I'm talking about.
mean, obviously.
Are you doing any coaching?
No, I'd like to.
I bet you have an opinion, though. I bet you maybe some suggestions for the coaches.
No, I think the coaches are doing a great job. I don't. I stay.
They just take one game at a time. Yeah.
I stay removed. Genuinely, I don't get to that many games because I'm working a lot.
Yeah, of course.
I know of a coach, right? Who I've met a couple of times. Very, very nice man. I've got to say, very nice man. But I've been hearing stories about the stats that he uses, and they're actually brilliant. The things like, if you offload the ball three times on a short side, you score 98% of the times. Don't know how you know that. If you collect a kickoff,
what level is this?
This
isn't a mini rugby coach, is it?
No, this is like men's. This is men's rugby. It's been around a bit. Other stats like, if you regather a ball from your own kickoff, if you crossfield kick it, you will score 80% of the time. Just the weirdest stats.
See, I mean, surely you would just have a move that was like blindside three quick offloads, score.
There's like no context to it whatsoever. Yeah, there you go. There's some interesting.
There's an idea for you, Leicester Tigers.
Yep.
That might be the little turning point. Three blindside offloads.
Perfect.
All in a row, 98%.
Regather your own kickoff. Crossfield.
Crossfield kick it. Straight away. Bang, crossfield kick it.
Johnny May goes in at the corner.
This coaching lark's easy.
Oh, it is. Yeah.
I like the layering of those stats. So it's like two stats that might be recorded separately, but then layering them together.
It's very complex stuff.
Yeah.
I was told a list of these stats on Saturday, and as soon as I remember, in fact, I will report back next week when I know more of them. I'll write them all down.
Right. Is there anything before we go that you'd like to put on the? Oh, it's good. With today's whiteboard, we've got one thing on it just to recap.
Well, I'm going to write down my successes shortly when you leave.
No, that's
just
fine.
Just have ticks. More, so what did I say? France to win the next World Cup.
France to win the Six Nations.
Yeah.
Nope.
France could win the Six Nations.
Well, you said it. In 2019.
Oh, right, yeah. Okay.
Saracens top four is what's going on the whiteboard today.
Yeah.
And that's a big ask, that.
They're a big team, aren't they?
Yeah.
And Jamal Ford-Robinson as England bolter.
Nice. Now, Tim, you can't actually see it from here, but just to the right-hand side of the whiteboard from my angle is the ingredients to make a Negroni.
That is correct.
Oh, I love
it. I've got Sip Smith gin, I've got some Campari, and I've got, I can't even say that, but
Vermouth,
effectively.
Red Vermouth.
From our good friends at Premium Brands.
I put that on our list, from our good friends at Premium Brands, yes. I've got some, I've got that on our list of Christmas items, because I'm going to make the family have a Negroni.
Do you know what? Last year, I took a bottle of something to my aunties, and we all had Negronis. It started off awful, but it really, you know, they really got into it.
Yeah, because after two of them, you're absolutely hammered.
I had a Negroni last night in Selfridges, obviously.
Of course.
Where else?
On Black Friday weekend.
On Black Friday. It was bloody brilliant. So anyway, enough
You
of that.
Went... Did you go for the Black Friday sales?
No, I went for Negroni.
Oh, right, okay.
It's got a marble bar.
That's fine, then. I'll go with that. Good.
Right, let's wrap this up.
Right, and we're at Rugby Podcast. You know where we are. We're all over social media. Have a look at the little video of this, the new remodelled rugby dungeon with, that looks like a Spitfire.
That's a Seafire, actually.
That looks like a Spitfire.
No, that's actually
that's a US...
No, it's a Typhoon. It's a
Typhoon, yeah.
It's Hawker Typhoon. I'd say, yeah, these are probably my three favourite aircraft. That there's a Mosquito, which is just awesome.
They were the ones that they did loads of the legwork in the Battle of Britain.
No. You're thinking of the Hurricane.
Hurricane, that's
so
the one.
That beast there. there's a great book, and it's written by a fella who I want to say he was French, Pierre. Oh, I'll come back. Yeah, I'll come back with a book. But he escaped France when the Germans invaded. He then flew those things, which are Typhoons and Tempests, and went back and reconquered France. And it's called The Big Show. It's a great book.
That's a recommendation of a book. A recommendation of a show is after the brilliant Vietnam Ken Burns war documentary on Netflix, their World War II series where they've colorized a load of footage and picked out some key battles is awesome as well. And I just finished watching the Battle of Britain one where they were basically the one thing that I got from it was the pilots, the fighter pilots were lads. They were up all night drinking, getting any woman they wanted because they were like they were the manliest of men.
So there is a couple more books that I'll recommend on this if I can remember them, which I can't. I'll come back to that in a second. But the Eric Winkelbrown, which is one, he's flown something like 400 types, so he's like a test pilot and just flies everything, which is great. And there's a Battle of Britain one. I can't remember who wrote that one, but in it, all they do is get drunk. They land their plane, they go get hammered, they get up in the morning, and they fly all day, and it is brutal. Like, the losses that they took, you've got to read these books, because when you think of the Spitfire, you think, oh, he's, you know, the best fighter plane in the world, and, you know, it was brutal. They were getting shot down at a huge rate. And that aircraft there, the Tempest, there is a story about of a squad of eight going in, and six get shot down almost immediately. And it happens over and over again.
You need a drink to calm your nerves.
Yeah,
Negroni.
Yeah,
right.
But the amount that they drank, like every night in the pub. Interesting.
Big takeaway, there you go.
That is actually interesting.
So if you like,
that is genuinely interesting.
Yeah, if you like that sort of chat, you can find my other podcast, Pilot Episodes, with actual real-life pilots who fly or flew for the RAF. So there you are.
One of your other podcasts.
One of many.
Yeah. One of many. Right, thank you very much for listening. Let the boys play.
Let the boys play.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
If you're concerned about mental health or looking to get into self-improvement, join me at the Piece by Piece podcast. There, I'm interviewing everyday people and experts alike about how to overcome difficulties around mental health. Speaking of which, I just released an interview with a mental health historian and another with two friends who are healthcare workers.
If these conversations interest you, check us out at Piece by Piece. That's Piece with an A, B-I, and then Piece with an I. Thank you so much.